The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another, who was the greatest? He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for the ways that you speak to us through scriptures and in the world around us and in our lives. We ask that our minds and our ears and our eyes would ever be open to your presence in our midst. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of years ago, a list started circulating on the internet entitled "Rules for Children in the Worship Service." It's a longer list, so I won't read the whole thing, but these are a few of those rules for children in worship. Number one, if you find that you're sitting in front of a child and they can't see, lean to the side. Number two, if there is a baby that is crying, offer to take that baby from her parent and walk around in the back of the church and rock the child for a while. That parent really needs a break. I can attest to that. Number three, if an adult complains to an usher about the noisy children near them, offer to trade seats with that adult and then apologize to the parents of those children. Number four, when a child is running around giving everyone high fives during the passing of the peace, make sure to give them an extra fun high five and then high five the next five adults you see. And finally, when a child in front of you is very squirmy, and then they finally turn around and you realize suddenly, oh, it's Jesus, take it in stride and play got your nose till he turns around to the front again. This list was composed by C.B. Beale, who runs an organization called Justice and Peace Consulting just up the road in East Hampton, Mass. The list is composed with a fair amount of humor, but it names a couple of really important things. First, that having children in worship means they need to be welcomed. Not tolerated with eye rolls and sighs, but actively welcomed into the worship space in ways that mean we might change our behavior a little to ensure that welcome for children and for families. And second, that in all their chaos and energy and mess and brutal honesty, children bear for us the face of Jesus. That when we welcome, truly welcome children in all of their complexity, we welcome God. Debbie Thomas writes that perhaps if I didn't have so much experience with children, I'd be tempted to sentimentalize Jesus' words in the gospel this morning. I've heard well-meaning people suggest, for example, that Jesus likens children to God because children are so innocent and so good. Perhaps. But the children I know are also feisty, clever, quick, fierce, generous, and selfish, naughty and obedient, curious and bored, quiet and loud, challenging, funny, surprising, creative, destructive, solemn, and exhausting. And I think that Jesus knew as much when he described children as trustworthy representations of God. I'm right there with her. Because as someone who lives with 3 children under 8, I know that they are all of these things and more, and that God is reflected in all of it. In those moments when my son Rowan, in the middle of a hike, stops hiking and stills himself longing enough to notice and watch an orange salamander climbing over twigs and leaves and delighting in his discovery. Or when August creates complex designs out of Lego and can't wait to show them and explain them to us. Or when my Evie runs through the house, her wild curl streaming behind her as her giggle explodes into a cackle. I know that these beautiful children are reflecting God back to me in these moments, as they have done countless times before. And Jesus says that when we welcome children in all their fullness, we welcome him. And when we welcome him, we welcome God. There's something more to Jesus' words, though, when you look at them in the context of the passage from Mark. Jesus and his disciples are traveling through Galilee to Capernaum, and along the way, he tells them that he will be betrayed and killed and will rise again. They don't understand anything that he's saying and don't ask a single question. Instead, they start arguing about which of them is the greatest. And it is here, after admitting this to Jesus, that he says, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And then he takes a child that is there among them into his arms, saying that whoever welcomes this child welcomes him and welcomes God. His words are more than just an acknowledgement of all the things that make children wonderful, though they are that. But they are also stated in order to draw a contrast with how the disciples have just been acting. Jesus has told the disciples something hard, and they don't understand it. And unlike a child who would not think twice about asking 1,000 questions, the disciples don't ask a single one. They don't want to be caught not knowing. They're afraid of risking their status or perceived power. And in fact, the next thing they do is argue about which of them is the greatest. And when Jesus tells them they should welcome the child, and in doing so welcome God, it is in part a call to embrace everything that is childlike for themselves in all of its glorious expression, but also it is a direct contradiction to their focus on power and greatness. Children were absolutely the bottom rung of society in that time. Something even a little hard to conceive of in this culture when our schedules are ruled by kids' school and soccer and dance commitments. But in the culture in which Jesus and his disciples lived, the children would have had no voice, no say in what happened in their day. To welcome a child, to actively welcome and choose to be in their midst, was to choose to be in the presence of the antithesis of power, to align oneself with those who are weak and vulnerable. It's not going to get you noticed as the greatest or most powerful. But, Jesus says, God is there. God is there among the ones who have no power, those whose existence is barely noticed by the powerful, who have no say, whose well-being is at the whim of others. God is there. And God calls us into that space too. Calls us to a welcome that is deep and broad. It is not lost on me that this invitation to welcome children is something that is being extended to this church in many ways right now. Last week, and again this morning, the church was filled with the raucous noise of children as they marched down our center aisle, the congregation delighting in their presence. And last week, you even welcomed them fully as my daughter Evie tried to drag me away during the announcements mid-service. At the same time, two invitations to welcome children have materialized for our community. One is to enhance the welcome that children receive when they enter into foster care. A ministry that became known as Lydia's Closet, a room that 2 weeks ago was empty and is now filled with clothes and gear that will be given with a spirit of welcome for children who are entering into new living situations. The items that you give to this closet, that you have given to this closet, have been given to God, no less. And just in these last weeks, the invitation has come to help welcome two students who had to flee their home country of Afghanistan for fear that their enrollment in a women's leadership school would lead to persecution for them and for their families. In both of these cases, we see children caught up in conflicts that are not their own. We see that there is still a point to which children's power in this world is limited by the power of others. And we hear Jesus' words that when we welcome children, we welcome God. This idea does not only apply to children, but to all the powerless in this world. And in a society that trains us to seek out power so that we might have power for ourselves, Jesus tells us the opposite. And the Gospels give us plenty of evidence that Jesus is not to be found among the powerful. They didn't like him that much. But among the overlooked and the outcast of this world. When we care for children, for the hungry, the poor, the homeless, the ones cast down by society, we do this not just because, well, it's a nice thing to do. Not because we get brownie points or a better spot in line for heaven. But because God is there. And when we love and serve the people this world overlooks, we find ourselves in God's presence. There is deep joy to be found in welcoming and serving As we find our spiritual lives and the good we hope to do in this world all bound up together in these places. It all flows together here as we serve others as Jesus did and find ourselves in his very presence as we do the work of welcoming others. So the next time you find yourselves in a position to welcome a child or someone else in need that God has placed on your heart to help, take a moment to look closer, to look at their faces, to look in their eyes. You might just see the face of God looking right back at you. Amen.